This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Monday Night Football is yet to kick up. We got a lot going on tonight. Circa Survivor has passed a $20 million guarantee. 20,179 entrants in Circa Survivor as I speak. Will Hill, Matt Eumanns here, waiting for kickoff of SMU Florida State in Tallahassee. Power outage has apparently been solved. The game is delayed, but the kickoff is set for 9:15 p.m. Eastern, 6:15 Pacific. And Will Hill, I'm going to mention a couple of details here. With the power outage complications at Doak Campbell Stadium tonight, there's going to be apparently no coach-to-player communication, no iPads, no PA announcer, no scoreboard. The total in this game is 53.5. Would this make you lean under, specifically when you think about the no coach-to-player communication issues, the delay, the players have got, you know, the players have waited over an hour, hour and a half for this game to kick off? Do you think this might lead you to an under the total bet when you look at the total of 53.5 in Tallahassee?
Yeah, I mean, if anything, if I were going to draw a conclusion, it would point me towards the under more than the over, just for the reasons you mentioned. Is it enough for me to actually like the bet and make it? Probably not. But if there's going to be a lack of communication, you figure offense is about rhythm and timing and organization, and defense is just about attacking and disrupting that timing, and that favors the defense. I could certainly understand that.
Well, the players' routines have been disrupted tonight, too, and you wonder if these teams are going to get off to a slow start tonight with the almost two-hour delay by the time we get underway in Tallahassee. All right, let's talk NFL. Let's go out to the Progressive guest line tonight and call up Fernando Ramirez from the Sporting Tribune, covers the Chargers. And, Fernando, great to have you back on the show tonight. And the Chargers are going to be a hot topic here all week because they're the biggest favorites on the board in NFL Week 1, 10-point favorites over the Arizona Cardinals. What has been your, I guess, general take on the Chargers as you go through training camp and the preseason? Are you more or less confident in this team coming out of the preseason than you were going into it?
Hey, well, I appreciate you guys for having me on. With what you guys were talking about, no communication, we're taking it back to JV football. No headsets, no nothing. So let's see if those guys can compete like that. But look, the reason why I would say I'm more confident is just because Jim Harbaugh is 6-0 all time in week one games in the NFL. So I think that's a pretty good marker there. But no, I think that Mike McDaniel's offense during training camp and everything, you kind of saw the evolution of what that offense can look like. And I think this is going to be the first example, a good example to see what this offense is going to look like under him. And he said that Justin has taken everything that he said and that he feels like Justin's doing a really good job with it. The only thing he said is that he hopes Justin is more reactionary and not so calculated in the sense of like, it needs to happen. It needs to be there. And he could just throw guys open in a sense, which Justin has been good at in his career. But I definitely think they should be able to win that game. And again, if they start off 0-1, it's you're off to a bad start. But a lot of it is going to depend on the way that Justin and Mike communicate offensively. And then obviously the defense with a 34-year-old play caller in Chris O'Leary and see how his defense kind of takes shape week one.
Fernando Ramirez, Chargers beat reporter for the Sporting Tribune. Follow him at Real F. Ramirez. So the Chargers, 10-point favorites over the Cardinals, probably going to be the top consensus play in Circa Survivor. If I ask you right now, Fernando, on a scale of 1 to 10, your confidence level in the Chargers just winning the game outright, not covering the number, just winning the game 1 to 10, what's your confidence level?
I'll say a 9. I think that they should be able to handle a game like this. I think obviously week one's always like the craziest week just because you always get an upset here and there. But I think with Jim Harbaugh, these guys aren't doing what they used to do where games like this one, they would drop and things like that. Like, I feel like they've learned these last few years under Jim about how to put opponents away, how to be able to win those games and simply not charging, I guess, in a sense. So I think they've learned that, and I don't think they'll do that this Sunday, to be honest.
Will Hill, take it away.
All right, Fernando, where is the Charger fan, and as many of them as there are here, you know, in this day and age, with Herbert? He's great with the talent, the arm talent, the ability to run. He looks the part, but you know what? This is three times now he's come up short in the playoffs. Do people think it's just a matter of time, and when you get the team around him, he'll surge and have a big-time playoffs? Or do Charger fans think, you know what, maybe there's something missing with this guy?
Well, what I've kind of gathered from the Charger fan base is that they feel, I guess, like now that Mike McDaniel's come in, now they're going to see the true Herbert, and they're going to see what it has. It been really the fact that Rashawn Slater, Joe Alt, guys like those have gone down, or is it the fact that he shrinks in those moments? But I think they trust that Herbert has the talent. They trust that Herbert has the ability. It's just the fact that Greg Roman was just not a good fit for him. Other offensive coordinators haven't really been a good fit for him. So, and then obviously the injuries that seem to always plague this franchise, but they feel like with Mike McDaniel, they're going to see the real Justin Herbert, especially in the playoffs. 'Cause that's what they've talked about. They said, Jim Harbaugh said, the reason why we brought Mike is for those games in December and January when we need it most and we need to get these wins. So, so that's where he wants to see the best version of Justin. So that's why they brought Mike McDaniel. That's why they paid him top offensive coordinator money for these situations.
This is the time of the year where people are doing their fantasy football drafts, and there's obviously some crossover with people betting player props. Is there a player on the Chargers that you think could maybe have a much bigger year statistically than people might think from covering this team?
I think running back Omarion Hampton is going to be huge this year for them. If he can stay healthy, the way that Mike McDaniel schemed guys in the past, Devon H. and we all remember Raheem Mostert. A lot of people didn't think that, they thought he was done when he went down to Miami, and he had a pretty big year for them. So I definitely think that Omarion's going to have a big year. I think if the offensive line is able to do what they believe they can do, and obviously if Mike is able to scheme it up for him, I think Omarion might be in for a big year for them, not only rushing wise, but in the passing game. I think that's one thing that people overlook when it comes to Omarion. He was a threat last year in the passing game, especially in clutch situations like that week three Denver Broncos game and some other games. He can definitely affect the offense, and he can affect the defense in both the running and the passing game.
Fernando, how about the middle of that offensive line? We know the tackles are studs, bookend tackles, Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt. You have concerns about the center and the guards and the interior offensive line?
At center, they seem very happy with Jake. And the thing is that in the past, the Chargers have been more they've reacted to situations. They don't get ahead of things. And this year they got ahead of it by drafting Jake Slaughter. And a lot of people were like, why are you drafting Jake Slaughter if you have Tyler Biotish there who you signed in free agency? Well, this is the reason why. They're very excited about what Jake brings. Obviously, the coaching staff is very excited. Now, Cole Strange is a little bit of he's kind of up in the air. He did not have the best preseason practice or preseason games, and there was a little shakiness from him that we've seen, especially with some of the defensive linemen kind of taking pushing him back a little bit. But on the other side, if Trey Pipkins all of a sudden sneaks into that left guard position, I think they're really in trouble because Coyote's kind of been the guy all training camp, and they said he's the one leading it, but all of a sudden Trey Pipkins is now there ever since Jake Slaughter was thrusted into the center position. So I think their original choice was Branson Taylor, who got hurt. They had to place him on IR for that left guard position. He's a sixth-round draft pick that they drafted a year ago, but I definitely think that with Coyote, they're gonna be a lot better than with Trey Pipkins. Okay. But the Cole Strange, the two guard positions are really the question marks when it comes to this offensive line.
Fernando Ramirez, the Sporting Tribune, with us, Chargers beat reporter. Quick answer on this one, if you can. I think this is Jim Harbaugh's best team with the Chargers, but also his toughest schedule. Win total 9.5. Over or under?
Over.
You're going over. Okay.
Yes, sir.
The schedule is difficult. There's no doubt about it. Starts off easily. You would say a soft launch with the Cardinals and the Raiders, but then it gets really difficult for the Chargers after that. All right, last thing here, about 90 seconds. Your boss at the Sporting Trib, Arash Markazi, is in Australia for the game on Thursday night. 49ers, Rams, who are arriving late. What's your quick handicap on that game? And do you think the Rams are playing this the wrong way by showing up the day before the game?
I do. I think a lot of people obviously give Sean McVay his flowers when he's right. And I think here you kind of have to criticize leaving a day before the game in Australia. That's a big time flight. I've texted with some journalists that are down there and they said it was kind of rough. Obviously they're not professional athletes, but they said the trip was a little rough. So, I'm definitely interested to see in what condition the players are going to be like when they show up to Australia. But should be an interesting game down there in Melbourne between two teams that obviously are NFC West rivals.
And the 49ers showing up a week before the game, the Rams showing up the day before the game, and that's been obviously a hot talking point. Right now, Rams 3.5-point favorites at most spots, but there is a 4 out there if you like the 49ers. Fernando? Appreciate the time tonight. Just know there's going to be a lot of people really disappointed if the Chargers do not win that game against the Cardinals on Sunday.
Oh, I'm sure. I appreciate you guys having me on. Have a good one.
All right, thanks. Fernando Ramirez of the Sporting Tribune, and you can count on the Chargers being the top consensus play in the Circus Survivor contest this week. It looks like we're a few minutes away from kickoff in Tallahassee. SMU, Florida State when we come back.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The wait is finally over. Yes, SMU Florida State's about to kick off. But college football is also back. The NFL season kicks off this week. Now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to our updated NFL betting guide with post-preseason updates, week one betting systems, and best bets. Also receive our college football betting guide with previews of all 138 FBS teams. Sign up now. You get real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Get started for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription, vsin.com/subscribe. We have kickoff in Tallahassee, a touchback. So the game now underway, but the time is being kept on the field. There's a secret clock, Will Hill, tonight. How does that make you feel about watching this SMU-Florida State game, knowing that there's a secret clock being kept by the officials?
Doubt that will come into effect. Can't imagine a game.
No, that never happens.
You know, in the limelight where that matters. I'm actually okay. It'll be fun to kind of turn back the clock, Matt. You and I are old enough to remember when these games weren't so overregulated. We didn't look at every little inch, every little toenail. We could just kind of watch the game. We didn't need to review everything. And it's funny, watching Ole Miss and Louisville last night as we're finally underway, and SMU with about a 5-yard run, they get the ball first and they start the game here. It'll be 2nd and 5. The kid on Ole Miss scores a touchdown. And he's fast as hell. I'm drawing a blank on
the
name.
Dropped the ball before he got to the goal line.
He saw that he'd score. And with all the reviews, all the time we spend and waste looking at reviews, we didn't review that. And the touchdown still stands. So we still get stuff wrong. And we spend all this time on it. So you know what? If we don't have reviews for a little bit, we'll all live.
Yeah, the review system is certainly flawed. And nothing's going to be perfect. But it amazes me that we can watch these reviews, we can review these plays over and over again and still get the calls wrong. Like the Notre Dame, Wisconsin fumbles a kickoff, Notre Dame player jumps on the ball, but his foot goes out of bounds before he gains control of the ball. It's obvious, 99% of the people see it. You got 5 different angles, and then the officiating review says, we're still going to give the ball to Notre Dame. How do you explain that one, Will? How do you explain that nonsense when everybody watching it knows that's not a clear fumble recovery, his foot's out of bounds, but they're still going to give the ball to Notre Dame? How's that happen?
somebody must have told somebody else that I had the first quarter under 10.5 and they wanted to stick it to me. They obviously don't like my work here on Visa, the sports betting network. I don't know. It's a joke. It's embarrassing. We spend all this time and we still get it wrong. I don't know what the solution is.
It was the same way the week before when I was at the Hawaii Stanford game. Two obvious replay reviews that both went against Hawaii that should have went Hawaii's way. It was an absolute joke after the review that those decisions were made by the officiating review crew the way they were. Obviously, the Western Michigan-Michigan games going to be the most blatant example of all. Everybody watched it, saw zeros on the clock before the ball was touched by a player. Oh, but we have a secret clock, the Big Ten says, and there was 1 second left on the clock. Quickly, before we get back to that topic, SMU driving down the field here behind quarterback Kevin Jennings, and the VSIM Pro plays heavily, heavily swayed to the SMU side tonight. And the betting splits around 80% of the action on SMU. These are all the handicappers on the SMU side tonight. Super Dave Ross on the first half with the Mustangs. On the Mustangs for the game tonight, Stormy Bonantoni, Bruce Marshall, Colin Wilson, Brian Edwards, Ryan Kramer, Dustin Sweetelson, David Bierman, CJ Sullivan, Chris Facile, and Eric Cohen. All right, it's about 12-1 SMU, Florida State, and the one on the Seminoles, Brad Taylor, taking the 3 points with the home dog tonight, Jensen Lewis on the under 53.5. And I did like the under. I did not bet it before the game, but we were thinking about the communication issues tonight with no player to coach. Communication, no iPads, no video replays, no scoreboard, clock being kept on the field. It seemed to be some factors in the long delay, and we have a fumble on the field. I believe Florida State's going to come up with the ball. So SMU's first drive is going to result in a turnover. Seminoles have it with 12:24 to go. Big stand there by the Florida State defense as the Mustangs were trotting down the field with little resistance. Then they had a holding call and now a fumble. And Florida State's got it. So big play right there. Well, with the delay, too, with these players waiting around almost 2 hours to start this game tonight, I thought this game might get off to a slow start. Players could be a little stiff when you get going, a little slow to get started. Maybe that also leads you to an under. But it certainly helps when SMU drives all the way down to the 20 and then coughs up the ball and the Seminoles are going to take over.
Yeah, and it's not like it was just one big chunk play. It just was 6, 7, 8 yards at a clip.
Yep.
And it seemed like just a matter of time before SMU strolls into the end zone. But you know what? A penalty. Guy gets his hand on the ball. Not great ball security from the kid on SMU. Just a little bit of a punch on the ball. It not only gets knocked out, but recovered by Florida State. So just like that, 12:24 left in the first, and Florida State's going to take over. Take over with decent field position. I'd run that play again, hand it to the running back, and have him just fall down behind the line of scrimmage. It'll be 2nd and 11, but Florida State avoids falling behind early.
All right, this annoys the hell out of me, and I can't stand it. So you got all week to prepare for this game. You're the offense coordinator. You got an extra 2 hours before the game starts, and your first play is a handoff up the middle for no gain. Come up with a more creative play on first down. Now, the second play, quarterback keeper for a loss of 2.
Yeah.
Seminoles setting up a 3rd and 13 here. How do you have all week to prep for a game and your first play is going to be a handoff up the middle? That's not going to go anywhere. I can tell you that before you even do it. And Seminoles get stuffed and now they're going to be in 3rd and long situation. This does not help your quarterback. Throw the ball on first down. Do something different. Don't hand it off. Run it up the middle for no gain or a loss. Here we go. 3rd and 12. Ashton Daniels in the shotgun. Again, he's made 24 career starts. He's got 25 TD passes, 23 picks. He's been a 50-50 quarterback, and he is going to throw incomplete there. No chance on 4th and 12. Offensive coordinator for Florida State's got his head stuck somewhere where the sun doesn't shine. He's going to have to pull it out if the Seminoles are going to rally tonight. So it's going to be a punt with a little over 11 minutes to go. We do have a clock on the graphic here. Well, it's interesting.
Right.
We do have ESPN, a game clock here. Is that the real clock, though? It might be off by a second. We don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, these jokes are going to live forever. That's the one thing, Matt, and I was watching the game live, and I know a lot of people that were watching the game live that turned it off. As much as I didn't like the ending, and I thought it was unfair, and I thought it was robbery of Western Michigan, there is something cool, something special, even if it's infamous, about watching a game and you know the second you see it, it's going to live forever. That game, that ending the other night, Matt, that's next 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you're going to see that play, that ending forever. So it's for all the wrong reasons. And you know what? If that game ended in a Western Michigan win like it should have, you would have seen it forever just because it was a, you know, four touchdown underdog winning almost 19 years to the day that App State beat Michigan. But that's, you know, for right or wrong, that is a living that's going to live for eternity there.
Yeah, it's obviously lives an eternity, and it's much more pronounced if the underdog wins, right? If you get a three or four touchdown underdog and wins a game like that, it's going to be unforgettable. This is going to be unforgettable because of the controversy of Michigan getting two tries at the Hail Mary and converting the third when there was a secret clock with 1 second left on it, the total BS that happened here. By the way, let's hear from Kyle Whittingham. After his first game as Michigan coach, he beats Western Michigan 13-12 with an asterisk next to it. What did Kyle Whittingham think about the scoring controversy?
Well, yeah, obviously the extra second was huge. As I watched the first Hail Mary end and the ball sailed out of the back of the end zone, as I glanced at the clock, I was pretty sure there was 1 second left, but that obviously is not up to me. But as the refs went to replay, they confirmed it, and so gave us one more opportunity. And
all right, so I watched that. And I said, how could he be pretty sure there was 1 second left, Will? Because the stadium clock, all the clocks showed zero before a player put his hand on the ball. How could he be pretty sure there was 1 second left? Is this making up a different story?
It's a tough
story?
Spot for him. It's a tough spot. Yeah. I remember Joe Torre after the Jeffrey Mayer play, people asking him, hey, did you see it? What happened? You got a big – I mean, what – you don't want to throw the refs, the umpires under the bus after they give you a break. You don't – it's just a tough spot as the coach. I mean, what are you supposed to do? You got an extra play. You made the most of it. You got away with one. But it just – I don't know what you say there if you're the coach that benefits from it.
Listener Lance on Twitter.
Love Lance.
At Lance Jones IQ. He tweets us a lot, and he tweets out a lot of winners. He says tonight he's playing Florida State +3 on principle, 80% of the money on SMU, but he used a bonus on his sports book to play it tonight. So he's got Florida State +3 at +125 for a half unit. So I feel like you're being a contrarian. Or you are playing it based off of a principle that everybody's on one side. I'm going to take the other side tonight with Florida State. Anyway, underway, 4 minutes into the game in Tallahassee. Finally underway, no score on the field. Live line at DraftKings, SMU -5.5. The live total has dipped to 48.5. Money line now, SMU -215. All right, quick break. We'll talk more college football, NFL Week 1. We come back here in a couple minutes on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Touchdown SMU. Is it going to be that easy tonight to ride the Mustangs, Will Hill? We got a touchdown pass by Kevin Jennings, 7-0 SMU on top of Florida State. And we were just talking with the big Swede, Dustin Sweetelson, who's on SMU money line tonight. Based on principle, I just could not play the road favorite in this game with 80%+ of the money on that side. It seems like 90% of the bettors or handicappers giving out plays on the road favorite tonight. I couldn't play it. I stayed away from the game. Is it going to be this easy for SMU?
A year ago, you and I were sitting here and watched North Carolina get absolutely buried by TCU after scoring a quick touchdown. It was all TCU all night from that point forward. Feels a little bit like that with the way SMU went up and down the field. Yeah, they fumbled, but they got a quick three and out, and then they scored a quick touchdown. I get the feeling it might be that easy, Matt. You never want to overreact, but you also you don't want to underreact. You have to react a little bit, and that's something, you know, you go from week one to week two in college football. We'll deal with that in a week in the NFL. You'll hear that a lot. Don't overreact. It sounds smart, but you better react. You better not ignore what you saw. That's not the right way to approach it either, and I don't know. Florida State just might not be that good.
Interesting comment there. I feel like that you were philosophizing. You said don't overreact, don't underreact. You have to react a little bit, right?
Yes. You can use that if you want to copy that one.
Rich Marotta, the Hall of Fame sportscaster, boxing announcer, founder of the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame, tweeted in tonight and said, could you please tell me how many people have signed up for Circus Survivor? I have entered for the first time. I'm excited to be part of the Survivor chaos. And I responded to him, as of right now, 20,179 entries in Circus Survivor. So over the $20 million guarantee. And Rich Marotta replies, thanks. That's incredible. Well, it's going to get over 25,000. Sure looks that way with 5 days to go. That's your Circus Survivor update. SMU on top of Florida State 7-0. Let's go to MLB. We've got three games on the West Coast tonight. And actually, two are underway. The Giants have a 2-0 lead over the Cardinals. Logan Webb on the mound tonight for San Francisco. Live line, Giants minus 550. Or if you want to lay a run and a half at minus 169. Giants up 2-0 over the Cardinals. That's in the fifth inning in San Francisco. I told you, Will, and we started the show, I did put a small bet on the Reds. Beer and pizza money bet on the Reds. A plus 159 tonight with Chase Burns on the mound. Reds get the first run. They draw first blood tonight, but the Dodgers have a runner on first, and Teoscar Hernandez at the plate. So, long way to go in this game. Second inning in L.A., Reds with a 1-0 lead. Live line, still Dodgers minus 175. And later tonight, we have the Blue Jays and the A's in West Sacramento, and that's Dylan Cease against Jacob Lopez, and Cease minus 217, current number at DraftKings. Will Hill, the big story in baseball tomorrow is going to be Cam Schwitler, Aaron Judge and the Yankees taking on the Rockies in the Bronx. And the big story is actually Aaron Judge making his return for the first time in a long time. What do you expect to see from Judge in his first game back with the Yankees on Tuesday night?
Yeah, and by the way, you say beer and pizza money very casually, but you and I have drank beer and eat pizza together. So that's I've seen you drink beer and eat pizza. That's not
drink a lot of beer and eat a lot of pizza.
Small tab.
You're right.
Yes. I mean, you would think Judge would be rusty if you're somebody that bets player props, think, oh, Judge, he's going to homer right away. I mean, maybe he does. He's Aaron Judge, and you figure the Yankees don't bring him back too soon. But, yeah, getting your timing down, facing real major league pitching in a game, it might take two or three games, even though he's facing the Rockies and he's Judge. I mean, I wouldn't anticipate Judge being Judge right off the bat. But you know what? You still got a few weeks of the playoffs. This is almost the perfect time, and I think we talked about a lot this summer, prognosticating, projecting what time he'd return, what date he'd return. I think we both thought September 1st would be great. You know what? It's not September 1st, but it's not that far after. So probably a little bit of a lull, probably a little bit of a catching up period. But you know what? You got a little bit of a timetable here before the games really count in the playoffs. So I don't know. Do you expect a little rust? I would imagine there's probably some rust, right, with the long layoff.
Yeah, I'm sure Aaron Judge has been taking his cuts and he feels like he's ready to go. But after that much time off, I would expect him to be really rusty here for the first week. I'm not expecting a lot. But Judge's presence in the lineup does do a lot for the Yankees, Will, because, you know, it protects the hitter in front of him. It just gives you, I think, as an opposing pitcher, it puts a little bit more fear into facing the Yankees, knowing that Aaron Judge is in that lineup and the Yankees had some dead wood in that lineup. It's been a very anemic offense at some points over the last couple months. I think Judge is going to lift the spirits of that whole team, too. The Yankees feel like they're whole again, and they got everyone healthy. Look, Stanton is not back. They're not whole again, but I'm not sure if Stanton's ever coming back. I know that you like Stanton a little bit more than most because he's been big in the playoffs. He's come up in big moments in the playoffs. Maybe the Yankees can get Stanton back for October, but I feel like the Yankees, for the first time in a long time, really have their entire team healthy and intact, and I think that's going to give them an emotional lift. Would you agree with that?
I would. Stanton's been great in the playoffs. Even, you know, that, what was the year, 2021, where he had some monster home runs down the stretch in Fenway to kind of get him in the playoffs, had a big game in Fenway, and the Yankees got eliminated. Stanton's been a big-time money player. It's just he's been hurt too much. But with Garcia on the team, Luis Garcia Jr., Stan's a DH at this point of his career. Luis Garcia Jr. is probably DH. I wasn't expecting much of Stanton. So, look, it's an American League where there's not a lot of great teams. When you can have, and you got Judge back, what you need, Rice, Judge, Bellinger, Garcia Jr., and then you fill out the rest of the team with the Chisholms of the world, that's the most talented team. We'll get them home. We'll get them to October, deep into the playoffs and to a World Series and things like that. I don't know, but that's still a team that has enough talent. That
Rockies Yankees tomorrow, and the Yankees are monster favorites in that game, right around minus 330, 340 with Cam Schwitler on the mound. And he has not been great at home. He's got a 1.14 ERA and 16 road starts. It's been a little shaky at home, but this is one where Yankees got to get the win on Monday night and get the win for Schwitler. He was so good last time out, did not get the win. The Yankees won that in extra innings. I want to see him turn in an outstanding performance at Yankee Stadium on Tuesday night. Update, Florida State has picked up a couple first downs here, now has third and one, and they run the ball up the middle right into traffic, and that's going to be a loss of two. Another creative play call there on third and short by Florida State. And now Mike Norvell is going to be backed up. He's got to make a decision here. Do you go for it? You're in plus territory. I would go for it. Fourth and three, 5 minutes to go in the first quarter. Probably don't run the ball up the middle. Come up with a little bit more creative play call here on fourth down, and you would have a better chance to pick it up. Ashton Daniels in the shotgun here from the 43-yard line, Florida State, fourth and three. And Daniels' quick throw, and that's going to be picked up. First down. Florida State doing what it has to do to keep his defense off the field there. And quick update here in baseball as well. Chase Burns worked out of trouble. He had the leadoff runner on for the Dodgers, but he gets out of it. Reds 1, Dodgers 0 as we head to the third inning in L.A. The Giants have added a run. San Francisco 3, St. Louis 0. Giants, the big home favorites, actually now big home favorites, slight home favorites with Logan Webb when the game started, but now minus 970 on the DraftKings live line. Dodgers, live number, minus 128. And again, later tonight, Blue Jays and A's. And West Sacramento, that game is about, looks like 25 minutes away, about a half hour away in Sacramento, the last game on the board tonight. All right, with Florida State driving behind Ashton Daniels. SMU is a, 6.5-point favorite live. Total up to 51.5. Money line SMU minus 298. And another first down for Florida State. So Seminoles answering here, Will. They had to, because the way the defense had played the first two series, you don't want that defense being on the field too long tonight. So it was really important for Florida State to sustain a drive here, pick up a few first downs, and they have done that. 10 plays,
and if you're
50
SMU,
yards.
Yeah. If you're SMU, if you're an SMU better, you probably feel like, man, I should probably be up like 14-0 now. Went right down the field the first drive, fumbled, had a chance to put points on the board, didn't. And instead of being up 14-0, Florida State's driving to possibly tie it and be 7-7, which, you know, any team, especially a favorite, you never want to be in a position where you just feel like you're leaving points on the board here. But a decent gain here on first down. Florida's going with a little bit of tempo. So you figure if nothing else, barring a turnover here, Florida State can at least get on the board with a field goal. But obviously your sights set on getting in the end zone and tying this game at 7.
Again, betting public all over the road favorite in this game. SMU getting heavy action on the VSIM Pro page. It's 12-1 SMU. Getting 12 handicappers on that side, one on Florida State. Brad Taylor, shout out to Brad Taylor. Contrarian, he's got the courage to go with the home underdog tonight, playing Florida State plus 3. Jensen Lewis on the under, 53.5. If you bet the under, you don't love the way this game has started with SMU driving down the field twice, Florida State trying to answer here. But a big third and two play, another big third down for the Florida State offense with Daniels in the shotgun. And he's going to keep that one, and that's going to be a loss of 3. That play backfired. Well, we got a flag on the field. That might be a face mask. It might be automatic first down for Florida State. We'll find out after the break, and we'll talk Ohio State, Texas. Stay tuned.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you place a bet this week, ask yourself one question. Why this number? Not who you like, not your gut. Why is this spread actually worth betting? BTB Analytics gives you a real answer. Their models independently price every NFL and college football game, then compare that projection directly against the market. You get the model spread, the current market line, the cover probability, and a quantified edge, showing exactly where and by how much the numbers disagree with the book. They've beaten the market every year since launch, profitable 3 years running, verified through BetStamp. Scan the QR code or go to btb-analytics.com and use code VSIM for 10% off. btb-analytics.com. All right, Will Hill, back here. Florida State answers. How about that? Kevin Jennings with a 50-yard TD pass to put SMU on the board first. Florida State does what it has to do there, keeps the defense off the field. 13 plays, 75 yards, Ashton Daniels with an 8-yard TD run, and we have a 7-7 game in Tallahassee. Not great if you bet the under. The live total up to 55.5. Live line now, Mustangs -3.5. Will, your reaction here to what's happened in Tallahassee so far?
Yeah, and if anyone has live player props, it seems like Ashton Daniels, who, you know, can struggle at times pulling the trigger when he needs to as a passer, it seems like a big part of the game plan is going to be him using his legs. Mm-hmm. I'm not much into college player props. I'm not sure if you are. It's hard to be, you know, feel like an expert on everything. So I just, sometimes I'll tail people on stuff, but for the most part, I pass on that stuff. But that's one that maybe if you have live player props, that's one that's worth looking at. But, you know, 4-point penalty by SMU, because even though nice drive by Florida State, Florida State moves the ball down the field. SMU was off the field. It was going to be 4th and 4 or 5. And you figure Florida State is going to go for a field goal and either make it at 7-3 or missing at 7-0. Instead, it's a face mask, a first down, and a couple of plays later, it's Florida State in the end zone. So you got to be frustrated, Matt, if you're an SMU backer.
Yep.
You go right down the field, you turn it over when you feel like you could add 3, if not 7. You get the ball back, you go up 7-0, and then you give up, you know, a drive where it's aided by penalties. So it's a game that feels like it's been dominated by SMU, but you know what? The scoreboard says differently.
You're going to get frustrated when you bet on football games, no question about it. Last night, my biggest bet of the weekend was on Louisville. My two biggest bets, one was Fresno, which was a fiasco on Friday night, and then Louisville +7 yesterday. And how about the idiot for Louisville running into the kicker, roughing the kicker on a 58-yard field goal attempt? I don't know if you saw that. But anyway, Cardinals come back, tie the game, and fortunately get the cover. Wild one last night in Nashville, 41-38. Ole Miss gets the win. That game lived up to the hype. Cardinals made so many costly mistakes in that game and still had a shot to win it. I'm still very optimistic about Louisville and the big picture this season. But that was a great game. That lived up to the hype as the top game of week one in college football. And I would also say that Ohio State, Texas has a pretty good chance to live up to the hype this week in Austin. Now, last year it did not. Arch Manning was a flop. A game in Columbus was a dud. Buckeyes won it 14-7. Now, last night, Patrick Everson tweeted out the opener here at Circa, Texas -2. 30 minutes later, the game was a pick'em. So last night, Circa Sports opens Texas -2. Within a half hour, it's pick'em. Well, sharp money showed up again, and we are back at Texas -1.5. So that's where we are. Went from 2 to pick'em to 1.5, and Texas the favorite against Ohio State. I'm sure you're going to get plenty of two-way action on this game throughout the week. Looking at the screen right now, I do see a 1 out there at BetMGM, 1.5 at Circa, 1.5 at DraftKings. But again, that's going to be a heavy two-way action game all week. I'm going to guess that the Bear, who loves the Buckeyes, might be on the underdog in this game, but that's just a guess. So he has not checked in on this yet. Steve Sarkisian talked about Jeremiah Smith, Ohio State star wide receiver, and how the Texas defense has got to limit Smith's big plays.
I mean, I think, one, he garners your attention, he deserves our attention. You know, it's arguably the best player in college football. And, you know, the challenge is with him, it's the size, speed, catch radius. You know, he's a big physical guy who can cover a lot of ground in a short amount of time. And it doesn't always look like it, but it almost feels like it. Like, you can feel his presence on the field. I know I said this about Cam, but we were talking about Cam's catch radius. When you just talk about body structure, this guy looks like Julio Jones. This guy looks like A.J. Brown, like when it physically, and he can cover ground. And then because he's so strong, 50-50 catches are very difficult with him. And so, you know, you have to have a plan. But I think like anything, when you have a plan against somebody like him, you can't just throw all fastballs. You know, even as good of a fastball as you have, if that's all you got, sooner or later they're going to hit it. So we've got to be able to mix our pitches up. And how we defend him and how we defend the scheme, because, you know, Arthur and Ryan, they believe in running the ball, and they've got a good runner and a good O-line. They've got other weapons. And so we've got to be diligent in having our ability to throw different pitches and then be sound in the back end to make sure that you know, we're aware of where number four is. And he garners that. Like, there's not every game do you go into where you say, hey, we need to know where this guy is every snap. We better know where number four is on every snap.
All right, Will, biggest game of the week, one of the biggest of the season. I'm not sure which way I'm going to go on this game yet, side or total. I have some thoughts about it, but any opinion from you early here as you look at Buckeyes Longhorns? And again, I said last year this game was a dud, 14-7. It was so hyped. It was a big disappointment. I feel like this game is going to live up to the hype this time in Austin. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. It'll probably live up to the hype. I remember this time last year, Matt, talking about this game, the Bear, Chris Felica, Paul Stone, and I jumped on board the under, the first half under. Two young quarterbacks, big game, little nerves. You figure the under made some sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure this time around with Arch and Sane a year older and a little more experienced if there's going to be the same nerves, but you know what? Big games, at least in the first half, and if I'm going to play the under, it'll probably be a first half under where the total at 49, all right, what are we looking at? 23.5, something like that in a first half. Probably look at a first half under just because there's still nerves feeling out process, but the line looks about right. I don't tease college football, but if you gave me either team plus 1.5, I should say I don't usually tease college football. If you gave me Ohio State teased up to 7.5, that would be tempting. Would lean towards a first half under, but again, the line looks properly priced right about now.
So I say this all the time. There are exceptions to every rule in life. Always yes. An exception to rules. So I say that a lot too. I don't tease college football. Rarely ever do it. But in this spot, if you wanted to tease Ohio State up to plus 7.5, I'm not going to argue with that. In fact, I'll probably do it this week. You know, I got to find something to pair it with. And there are plenty of different options on the board I'm looking at. But I think if you tease Ohio State up to plus 7.5, it's kind of hard to argue with that. I think that's a pretty good play. I might even lean Ohio State here a little bit in this game, but I feel like live betting is going to be the better way to go. You're going to find some better live betting opportunities, and we talk about this all the time, Will. When you have a spread right around the pick'em, 1, 1.5,
yep.
A lot of time live betting is a better way to play it. Or you can play the Buckeyes plus 7.5 on a teaser. I think that's a pretty good option this week.
Yeah, and as opposed to last year was a noon kickoff. That was right away in mm-hmm. Ohio State, in the Horseshoe.
Yep.
This is going to be a 7:30 Eastern start, so I don't know if that factors in your handicap, but plenty of time for the students there at Texas to get hydrated as we get a night game here and plenty of time to build up the hype on Saturday.
I typically like night games to be higher scoring. You know, a lot of times, and maybe it's just me because I'm not a morning person, but when these games start at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, a lot of times I feel like the players are slow to get going sometimes, right?
Yeah.
You're kind of half asleep. Last year, when you watched Texas-Ohio State, it looked like the players were half asleep when that game started. That was an early kickoff. And I'll tell you what, Steve Sarkisian also had some dubious play calling in that game, some awful play calling in that game last year. And I don't believe in Sark in the biggest games. And I typically want to bet against him in the biggest games. But right now, I think if you said I got to make one bet on this game, I would put Ohio State plus 7.5 on a teaser. I think getting that many points with the Buckeyes is always an appealing option. All right, update here out of Tallahassee. For the third time in as many drives, SMU is going right down the field on this Florida State defense. Well, it's happening again at 7-7. And the Seminoles D just not putting up much resistance. They got lucky on the first drive that SMU coughed up a fumble.
Yep, they sure did. If you're SMU, you probably feel like you should have not only a lead right now, but maybe a substantial lead. You left points on the board. You got a face mask when you're about to get off the field. But you know what? You might be getting a lead here soon as SMU gets close to a first down. Jennings gets shoved out of bounds. Doesn't look like they're going to give him the flag. Boy, I've seen less flag there, but SMU in good position here to maybe add some points, Matt.
All right, we'll take a look at 49ers-Rams when we come back. And also, let's talk about Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears. Ben Johnson says Caleb Williams is not as goofy as he used to be, and now he's all about business. Quick break, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.